Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
And welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again on this August 2nd, 2018. Listen, we had a very stirring conversation on this past Tuesday. We're back at it again. Ms. Kim out of Chicago, Illinois, blew up Facebook with the conversation, and our callers that were here live online, they're back with us again. We're going to pick it up. We're going to pick it up again right there. And this is another episode of Talk Straight. And guess what? You got the microphone. It's all on you. Give us a call. You bring it up, we talk about it. We're going to begin with that conversation thread. And the floor is open to let's turn it loose. No holds barred. No holds barred. We want to thank Peoria, Illinois is already tuned in with us, and Selma, Alabama. Here in Nashville, we want to thank Brother Prince as well as Dr. Gaping. And encourage you guys to give us a call here, 657. You can call us directly in the studio, 657-383-0944. If you're not able to do that or not up to that, you can just shoot your question or comment in our conversation thread. We'll be happy. We'll be more than happy to get you in. We appreciate you guys for joining us here. And so this is what we're going to do. This is what I'd like to do. I'd like to pick up where we left off, as I said earlier. And while I don't have a formal monologue, I do want to try to reshape the conversation so that you kind of know where we were. And one of the comments, the last comment before we had to leave, was that parents should not, we cannot afford to just be concerned about making sure our children alone are intact, but all the children in our community, in our neighborhood. And it begs the question is, whose responsibility is it to raise child? All right? Now, having said that, I do want to introduce two things. One is what the German philosopher Immanuel Kant said, which was very interesting. And then the soul singer, Curtis Mayfield. I think philosophically, they bring some very powerful a dialogue or points of view to the conversation. Just briefly, and we'll open up the phone line. The German philosopher Immanuel Kant, if you punish a child for being naughty and reward him for being good, he will do right merely for the sake of the reward. And when he goes out into the world and find that goodness is not always rewarded, nor wickedness punished. He will grow up as a man and go out into the world, and he will assume that I should only do good or avoid bad when it's to my benefit. Now, listen to what Brother Mayfield said. This cat, he went deep. This is what Brother Mayfield said. He's talking about little child running wild. Just for a few minutes here. Like we have a little Facebook there. One of our friends on Facebook is cut into us. But let me reiterate some of what Curtis Mayfield was saying. He says, little child running wild, watch a while, you see he never smiled. Broken home, father gone. Mama tired, and he's all alone. Kind of sad, kind of mad. Ghetto child thinking he's done something bad. Didn't bring yourself in the world. Goes on to finish. But I can just hear him in the back of his mind saying, you know what? I ain't got to be here. I ain't asked to be here. Why am I being punished in this world and going wild? We open up the phone line. Talk straight. Give it to me like it's straight. Now, I got Don from Selma, Alabama. Welcome, Brother Don. And that pretty lady out of Peoria, Illinois. Mama D is with us again. And my good friend, 1098, a.k.a. Outcast, a.k.a. Philosopher. Welcome to the show.
All right, then.
Yep. What y'all think about that? What do y'all think about that? Now, we're back on this topic now, and the last Facebook post was relative to all of us having the responsibility for looking after the other children outside of ours. You agree with that or disagree with it?
I agree.
Anybody? You agree with that?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
If you remember our discussion a while back when I was speaking about a tribe.
Okay, yes. Yes.
And I said it takes a village to raise a family. That didn't just mean in your own home, within your own self and your own children, your little nephews and nieces. Okay. It means the kids that grow around and come to your house if they're hungry and eat, hang out with your sons, your daughters, and become a part of your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was speaking upon.
I see. What do you think about that, Don?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you agree with Immanuel Kant? I know he's a German outcast, and he ain't from America. Would you agree with his position, though, philosophically?
Yes, I can relate to that. You know, I can kind of relate to that. You know, but, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, what it is, you know, when it comes to children, you know, we should not only look out for our children, but other people's children also. You know, we
right.
can give them a kind word to turn them around and send them into
sure.
the right direction where they're headed in the wrong direction.
Okay. But now,
speaking of
that,
yes, sir.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off. I apologize.
Now, speaking of Immanuel Kant, is his head not in the glass case? Nah, okay.
Hey, you leave him alone, man.
If
you leave him alone.
Serve me right, now. Hey. Hey, look here, put mine in a glass case and let people come back and look at it.
Did you say it's his head in a glass case?
What? Hell.
Okay.
No, seriously, though.
Yeah, Immanuel Kant, that he has a, there's a story behind the philosopher. But he had some powerful positions philosophically, though. I mean, that was one of them I tend to agree with, you know, that in essence what he was saying is the motivation for teaching children to do right should not just be because they're going to get a reward.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But they need to understand why right is beneficial to them, not only as a child, but when they get grown. If you follow Kant's philosophy and what he said is, when you get grown, you start cheating and stealing and lying just so you don't get caught, not because you're trying to be upright and forthright.
That's right.
You know? And I think what happens is people try to dress their children up real good so they can hide the reality of what they have or have not been taught at home. Help me, Holy Ghost. But it's a serious issue. Pastor Wallace, join us right quickly. How you doing, Brother Pastor?
Doing all right. How you doing now, Pastor Doctor?
Man, listen, I'm trying to hold this thing in a row. That's all.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. That's a good thing. Glad to know that.
You heard some of what we're talking about. What do you think about that,
Pastor? So you did what, Pastor?
That you heard. What do you think about what we were talking about in terms of the motivation for raising children?
The motivation for raising children. You know, I just tuned in, so the motivation for raising children. I think it's a great thing to, you know, you go back to the village, you know, relationship with a community, and say what it takes a village to raise, you know, a child, a children, or, I mean, you know, some people that don't even have a kid, but yet still have that mindset of bringing them up if you happen to see one out in the world and want to encourage them one way or the other. But that village still remains. You know, how do we go back to it is the issue. And I would say that we have to make a stand.
Okay.
You know, and in spite of the toughness that's going on, because there's a lot of that going on, and kids, we talked about it not long ago, about how kids are running to parents now and utilizing the system. And the system says you can't do certain things to them. But I remember not long ago someone on the program was talking about when you say something back to your parents, and then you get the mop room, the whatever else they may have that's close and near to them, you know. And that was a form of discipline. That wasn't what they would call child abuse. There was no child abuse, you understand what I'm saying? That was discipline back then.
Right.
And dare you to call the police, you know, one of them type of things. So today is vice versa. They call it child abuse today.
And
I heard y'all say something about it last week. Or last real Tuesday.
So this is Tuesday.
So the last segment we had, man. So we had to get back into, you know, if we take that broom, if we take that whatever it takes, you understand what I'm saying? That's discipline. That's not no child abuse. Just remind them how, you know, you had to deal with
that's
things coming up.
That's why we don't get in trouble. We do that.
That's what I'm saying, and that's sad. You know what I mean? And then when the police come, you know, you let them know that you're doing what was passed down to you, and that is to discipline your children. You're not.
Yeah.
That's not no child abuse. You didn't shoot them. You know, anything like that.
Well,
so it's amazing.
May I push back on you a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
May I push back on you a little bit? So.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
I think I follow your premise, and that is that we've got to be the authority in our children's lives. I think that's what. Am I understanding you correctly there?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
You're right.
All
on
right.
It.
So I agree with that. But having said that, I believe it's equally important to realize that one of the reasons so many parents find themselves having to resort to physical discipline methods is because they did not properly establish the authority and the fear in their children at a young age.
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying?
I don't agree with that, Pastor.
Well, hold on one second. Let me tell a lie, then you shoot me down, 8112.
I won't shoot you down.
All right. That's okay. But so here's the deal. Watch this. Consider this. And I don't necessarily mean fear in the sense of they got to be scared of you, but they trust and respect
the authority of your voice that's associated with your care and providing for them over time. That's what I mean by fear. The Bible said that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And it wasn't so much talking about you just being scared as it was having a reverence.
Yeah.
See, when you establish reverence for authority in your children early, you don't have to pull no fist, no brick, no nothing that up against them. You follow what I'm saying? Now, my poor mama broke so many brooms because, you know, she and Dad had separated, and she had all them seven boys in the house by herself, and she wasn't playing with them. You understand what I'm saying? See? So she went through a lot of brooms, that's all. But
that's
I'm all. Just saying, if there was a greater reverence, we had reverence, you know, but we were more afraid of Dad than we were mama.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, Mom had me down pat, though, man. She had it down pat, man. I remember the time, brother, for real, man, that I didn't get for one round of it. I understood the language after that one round. Yeah, man, but she got out,
okay.
You understand?
Okay.
And so that's
okay.
Probably why, you know, I'm able to deal with when a stronghold had me bound and I got free from it. I said just
right,
one
right,
round
right.
Was more than enough for me.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going back smoking no cigarettes because it bound me for 26 years. You know, I'm not going to do no drugs because it bound me for 20 years. One round, I'm not going back. You know, like I got that from that discipline whooping that my mom put down on me. You know, one round was more than enough.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Well, and you know what happens, though? I hear people say all the time, you know, when peer pressure gets your children, you don't know what they're going to do. You heard that before, Al-Kan?
Yes.
You agree with that, man?
Say that again, Pastor.
Do you agree with that notion that when peer pressure, your children are affected by peer pressure? Huh?
Yeah, well, basically, yes, they are, you know, peer pressure. And not only that, you know, they're down on themselves because there's a lot of things that they should have done and they shouldn't have done. And, you know, that weighs them down all the time also. But, yeah, peer pressure is the main thing.
Okay.
You know?
Let me hear from 8112. She was going to put me in check and give me straight there, Outcast. Give me straight, 8112. I don't want to go wrong. Give me straight.
I think peer pressure is just like, and it's different because it's different for a young lady, a girl turning into a lady. And with a little boy, all of a sudden one day you look up his voice, he got bass in his voice, you ready to beat him down, think he's trying to get smart. The peer pressure.
Right.
And then a lot of it don't just comes from home. Especially in a single family home with just mom, you know, they say moms. And moms can be harder than some dads. Mine was.
Right.
So, however, anyway, you have to have balance, I think.
Okay.
And depending on the individual and how peer pressure affects them, some come in one way and some of your other children, if you got more than one, you have to use a different tactic with.
That's true.
There are no two people the same.
Generally, children do have different characters and personalities. So, but as a rule, Don, what about as a general rule, when you lay down the law, shouldn't everybody walk that chalk line the same way?
They're supposed to, yes.
Should.
What you say should? Why you say should, Don?
If they lay down a rule, that's the rule that you should go by, the rule that they lay down.
Do you think, Don, too often people give in to their children's crying and what they don't like and that allow the child to decide what they're going to do? You think that's an issue, Don?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They play on your sympathy, your fears, your... Oh, yeah, children sense if you're sincere and you're not sincere. Oh, yeah.
You know, a couple of times they had to get on my little lady, my daughter. And, you know, I don't like to see my baby girl cry, so I had to go in the other room and give her a chance to get herself together and get myself together. You know what I mean?
And I'm like, hold on now. I ain't with this now. You ain't got to put that guilt trip on me. You going to get this whooping. But I still love you. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
That's right. That's it. That's it.
I watch my grandkids work their mama like a rib. Now, when it comes to me, they doing all that sniffling and stopping feet. You better sit your tail down and shut up. You do it again, it's a problem. And then I put fear. That's where that fear comes in. You may not touch them, period. They don't know that. On the other hand, mom's there, and I'm thinking, that's your child. Why I got to tell him or her to shut up right now? I don't feel like it. So, yeah, I agree with Don, yeah. You got to do it, and you got to mean it. And if you don't mean it and you tell them one thing and do something different, what they going to turn
that's
around
where your problem.
That's
that
where
so
the
true.
Problem begins. And that's where right. it's going to keep going until you stop.
You said something powerful there, 8112. When you talk about discipline, it's so important that everybody that's involved in the disciplinary process are on the same mm-hmm. sheet of music. A lot of mm-hmm. times you can have two parents in the home and children learn to manipulate both of them against one another, pit them
yes,
against
sir,
one another.
They would.
And you, as you were pointing out, grandparents or another uncle or somebody else that's involved, that's why it's important. If you're going to have family to speak to your children, you let mm-hmm. them know, here are the values I taught my child. And I don't need you deviating from that, because you're going to mess them up, you know?
Right.
And you'll get them in a jam if they start talking crazy to me.
Yes,
that job ain't going on.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Outkast.
Okay. Oh, nothing. I was just thinking, you know, about my past, you know. I like I stated, you know, I was rebelling, and believe me, as you know, I paid for it, and I paid for it dearly, you know, because I came up in a household, you know, with my grandmother. She was Jehovah's Witness, so, you know, God and me, that nature, I was already in the deuce of that. You know, what was right, what was wrong, I was already, you know, deuce of that. But, you know, Reverend Wilder, I was on that wide road, not the narrow one. I was on that wide road, and I hold that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, so the thing is, I believe, is at the end of the day, it's important that children know you love them, right? And that what you're doing for them in terms of keeping them restricted, providing your discipline, even if you have to have some other negative reinforcements of discipline, is that you're trying to make sure that they don't step out so far that they get themselves where they can't come back. And a lot
step
of good, that's, I think that's, go ahead, what'd you say?
Step off the edge.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really what I believe Curtis Mayfield was talking about in this 1970 song, Runaway Child, is you got a child that does not have any structure or discipline in their life, and when they get out to the larger social context of the world or the community, everything and everybody is feeding into their minds, into their little spirit, and they just lost, man. Can you hold them accountable
right.
for that?
No.
You know? Should they be excused from going to jail if they kill someone or rob someone because of those circumstances? Is that enough to give them a pass?
No.
What?
No.
You mean.
No.
Okay, explain to us why you say no.
I say no simply because for every action, there's a reaction.
Wow.
For every right, if you do right, a lot of times when you do right, most of the time, not all the time.
Sure. Sure.
Even at your best days, sometimes you can get in trouble.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you have no one directing you, guiding you all your life, even as a little child, you had to then go near raise yourself.
Absolutely.
And if we've never been in that child's shoes, how do we know how to walk his path? We don't know his path.
But we know
that he's self-destruct after a while if he don't learn to do better
that is
somehow.
You're right.
Sometimes some of them, the streets, even though the streets find them, they come back. They come back.
Right.
They're able to come back. It could be one kind word from Pastor Wallace, from Outcast. It could be one of you guys just say one thing to him to change his whole world and make him feel like somebody loves him or her and wants to nourish and help their well-being.
Right.
I don't
You're making a lot of sense. Only one thing about that, though, I do think that they should be removed from the greater society, not permanently, but they should be rehabilitated. And I think that's the problem, Outcast. I've talked to juvenile court judge and district attorney and people like that, and I suggested to them through the nonprofits, you know, that if there were resources, Outcast, for men and women who understood this problem, as 8112 beautifully described it, and we had some sort of intervention, community-based intervention, if we can get some of the resources, we could do those type of things, either in the church or even people. We have a special home and the proper training, of course. It strikes me that we lack that type of togetherness and guidance. That's really what the village concept was about in the African theory.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, 12, you know, I go along with what she stated. Hopefully Don will come in on this. But, you know, I mean, like, you know how the mob work. You know how the mob worked. All of us know how the mob worked.
Yeah.
We're taking these young kids, 10, 11, 12, 13, having them commit murders and stuff like that.
Right.
And they was actually getting slapped on the hand. So, therefore, I guess they did come back and change the laws. They sent them to penitentiary now with life sentences 12, 11, 12, and 13 years old.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
They're not, I guess you can blame it on the mob. Not on the mob, you know, just people in general. You know, they send their children out to kill someone because they're going to get slapped on the hand. You know, they go to an institution 1 or 2 years or whatever.
Correct.
You know, depending on all that. So, I guess this is what all that transpired from, but I do agree with what you're saying. If you can catch those children before they do a lot of those antisocial, you know, things, you know, don't wait until they do it. Catch them before they do it.
Right.
Here's the thing,
and I think Outkast, I agree with you. This is what 8112 sometimes. I think she misunderstands us when we're talking about the problem. She said, well, all of them are not like that. All of them are not bad. And we agree with you, 8112, they're not. But if we are more honest about those who are doing that, and more importantly, the answer or the solution to those problems, then we can eliminate it for everybody. It's not all the time just reacting, but being proactive to get in there, understand the nature of the problem, and fix it so it won't repeat itself for others. Would you agree with that, 8112?
Yes, I would. And I also would like to say this. It's not that I didn't understand what you guys were speaking of. CIA just being a mom. I am not just speaking about the ones, only ones that does listen. There's some kids you can reach by going out there, just even if they in your home, and you know they're supposed to be a little gang banger. I had a young man come in my house the other day with one of my sons, pants hanging dangling down to his knees. And I said, pull your pants up in my house. He stood there, and he looked at his knee. He said, okay. Then he started cussing. I said, guess what? That ain't going to happen. And he looked at me, he said, yes, ma'am, he did it again. I said, okay, I got a big mouth, too, I understand. But if you do it again, it's time to go.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm demanding my respect.
Right.
And this is how I reach some of them. And long as they come around me, they know there's certain things Mama Diane or Miss Diane ain't going to let me do. But
right,
I can do what I want to do when I go out of her house, but that's fine with me. And it ain't fine with me to the point, because if I see you on the street doing it, I may approach you and say, Boy, I'm going to tell your mama on you. Not that she may do one doggone thing, but he knows somebody cares enough to watch and say something.
Sure. Now, I know Pastor Waller know about this. I'm going to close to him on this. Pastor, when you're talking to these young gentlemen, as you do, they're in the raw. They're in the natural, right? There are no filters on what they say or what they do. And really, if you're not careful, you become one of their victims. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's very true. I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine now, and you know, to just speak on what you're talking about, he said, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's the monkey see you can do, and it's the media that they really, really looking into and finding how to copyright, quote, what they see.
Wow.
And basically, when you get order, that means the young person's being captured, and they're making money. The media is making money from this.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, you put a person in captivity, you're going to make big money off of that person.
Hmm.
So, you know, and that's
do
what
you
it
mind?
Means. If you're going to cut the,
Pastor,
the head off of this person,
do you mind?
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you were saying, and I was just going to ask you, if you would share with us, they did an article on you here locally in the paper about your day when you were, you know, attiring in your neighborhood. Will you tell them how they put the spin on it so it took away from what people really need to focus on? Will you share that with us a little bit? I thought that was an excellent case study. And I know you've been sharing that with young guys, that if you let people, other people write your story, they'll mess you up in the game because they're not going to tell it like you can. Will you, just a little bit of that. Will you tell us about that, Pastor?
Yeah, it was said in an interview that that they had on me back in 2017. And what happened was in the interview, they had heard about me and they talked about me, so I agreed to do the interview. And in the midst of doing the interview, we was walking in my neighborhood where I grew up at, and I was sharing with him how to do. Long story short, the guy came off and said that I was the main artery of Preston Taylor. And I gave him that. I let him have that one. You know, I already said I corrupted my community. You know I corrupted my community.
Right.
I understand that. So I gave him that. And since he said I was the main artery, then he said Fat Rick had plenty of potential, but he traded his potential for heroin. I gave him that. But when you said that I was the main artery, I want you to know I didn't sell drugs to white people in my community. So that means that I corrupted my own people. So that means I do have a right to go back and do all I can do to help restore the people that I corrupted. Remember, the generation that came after what we left there for them to pick up, it was all because of me. I'm taking the blame. I'm not putting nobody else for the blame. I was only accepting that. But for them to say that, ask me a question about where did the heroin come from, what do you mean where it come from? You know where it came from. You asked me nothing like that, but I didn't say that, you know. But they know where it came from. Why are you asking me? Now you're trying to get me knocked off, you know what I mean, by that wickedness that you're bringing to me in an interview. Now, I'm not putting them down for asking me the question, because while we was walking and talking, he knew when to come in and ask me that question. Like I was just going to say, it came from around the corner. I took the blame of what I've done. I let it be known. So I've been out of the game all these years. You all know where it came from. You put it up on the screen. You went to name in big cities, and then go come back and ask me where he's never come from, like he's going to catch me off guard. I said, I ain't worried about where it came from. I just know what to do about it. I know how to show people how to get free from it. That's my job, getting people free from it. So if the enemy brings the heroin or the drugs in our community, that don't mean we have to do it. That's what I said.
I was humble,
but I was really hot about it because they said I was the main artery. You know, the main artery means I'm the one caused all that to happen. You know,
right.
I already knew it. I told you about my community, but you put a twist on it like you wanted it, so okay, you got it.
One of the things I like about what you say to the young guys, and I've witnessed this myself, and that is no matter how terrible your behavior have been, that don't have to be your future. That's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And some, the
That's
devil will try to, you know, the enemy will try to get us locked into guilt of yesterday to where we can never break out of that and see our tomorrow. I just want to give you flowers, man, because that's the truth. A lot of times, if you don't know yourself that you've been made whole and that you're a free man, the other folk continue, man, and keep you a slave to fear and guilt and doubt and everything else. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, that's so true. And it's pretty easy. I mean, I've had to wait around on me daily, man. I mean, it's understandable. I've accepted the assignment. I deal with it every day. I don't skip no days dealing with it. And so, you know, it's not easy, man. You know, to be out here.
Right.
That's why I don't want to be feeding the people about opinions and things like that, because it's enough work out here to need to be done, and I can only do what I can do in my own little corner of the world. And so
everything else
is not even relevant to me, man. I'm it's too much work, and it's tedious. It's not easy, especially.
Okay, go ahead. 8112 wants to say something to you, Pastor.
Yeah, so it's got to, and I respect what Pastor Wallace just says, as I do all you guys that be on here I be talking to and listening to me. You guys, to me, are soldiers. You are soldiers doing the footwork, and it's not easy. It can be easy, especially as hard as you guys are working. Then you hear about another one of our children that's gone.
Yeah,
at the mercy and the hands of another one of our children that took his life for something ignorant or stupid, or even because they just become horrible to them and they didn't know what other way to take it out except for what they did, which is no
good point.
So I want to thank you guys, and I commend you for doing the job that you are trying to do. It did get knocked down in one day, baby, and it won't take one day to pick it back up.
I didn't know you, 8112, I didn't know you were a preacher, too.
I think it got my mama and my daddy, both of them.
yes, you hit hard there, man.
Don, Pastor, let me get you and Don talking about this. Now, Don, you there?
Yes, sir.
You there? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, Don, you and I have talked extensively about, you do a lot of political and analyzation, and you look at the effects that politics have had on the Afro-American subculture and really young guys today in the gang banging and what have you that are spreading from one part of the country all the way to the next, right? I want to catch you and Pastor Waller up now, Don. I'm going to hook you and Pastor, and y'all help me with this for a second. Now, Pastor Waller, Don has, and Outkast, he's very adamant about this, and sometimes people don't know where he's coming from, but he's right that there is an unspoken and unwritten rule that in order for you to feel like you're important, you got to be destructive and act like a wild animal. Don, talk to Pastor Wall about that, man, what you've observed. Because you're sitting it down in Selma now, I know.
Oh, yeah, I'm experiencing it. Mr. Darkery, I was going to tell you, yesterday I went to work, and this young lady was involved in the murder of a young lady in our neighborhood. This is about a year ago. She was about murdered. She was burned up, and the only thing left was her hand.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and the late young lady that was involved, she's now used as a police decoy. And she was in jail. Yeah, listen, she was in jail, but our state senator's wife, who play like she's doing activism, who's also tied into that network in Chicago with Jesse Jackson, she gets the young lady out, and the police now using her for a decoy. But, you know, last night I seen that as I was walking to work, because I work at Raceway, I seen that at the Shell gas station. So I proceeded to call the guy that I talk to every day on the radio program, WHBB, Randy. And as I'm calling Randy, Mr. Dockery, Randy answers the phone and says, "Don, guess who was just here with me? It was the police."
Oops.
And Randy said, yeah, the police had knocked on his door. And he said, "Who is it?" He said, "They said police." And he thought somebody was playing a joke. And he opened it up. It was really the police. And he said, Don, okay, I didn't have no drugs or nothing in my house. And the reason they coming at us, Mr. Dockery, there's two historical markers that are missing in our neighborhood. It's one on Benjamin Turner, who was the first African-American congressman here. There's no historical marker at his house seat at 718 Franklin. All right?
Okay.
And then the other plaque that's missing is one, R.B. Hudson, which is a school named after him, the high school back in the day when we was not integrated. R.B. Hudson was a banker. So that deal with political economics. Those two historical markers are missing.
I see.
And so me and him talked about working on it, and then here come the police.
Knocking on the door.
That's it.
So I want Pastor Wilder to speak to you about, Don, what is the appropriate way to address the young guys when they come in the raw. They ain't got no filters on. Sometimes people say, I'm trying to help you, and you don't want my help. It's not that they don't want your help, but they are in a, it's kind of like a high. They, you know what I'm saying? They caught up in the moment and can't see the forest for the trees. That's what I want Pastor Wilder to talk to you about. Why don't you go ahead and do that, Pastor Wilder? We explain to them. I know this is what the basis of your thesis of your book still have, Pastor, but that drive that keeps you always going back for more, that never gives you a chance to settle down and wake up to reality. We talked to Don about that, Pastor Wilder.
Yeah, well, you know, you have a set mind, a mind that's set on one thing. It's like a track that you're on. It's called a one-track mind.
Mm.
And when the computer is on one track, it have to respond to what's on that track. Maybe adding to it more of it, more of the same thing. You know, once you try one hit, you know, it's more of the same, and you're striving to get that same hit. And sometimes it's just, before you know it, you've taken 20 years worth of that trying to get that same hit.
Wow.
So will a person get to the other track, which means that other side, and discover how it is. So you have to meet them right where they are and understand that I have to consider myself still being out there in order to reach them or to let them know that there is hope. And so you have to have that humble approach, or I have to have that humble approach, which meaning that I understand them the first thing. That's where the wisdom comes in at. You see, you cannot belittle the brothers because that didn't happen to me. I wasn't taught that way. I was taught with compassion. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Ricky, said, you have to do what I've done with you. The way I reached you, you have to reach the people the way I reached you. In other words, I didn't force it upon you. I shared it with you. And that was the beauty of it, you know what I mean? So I followed the same instructions, you know, that he put down on me. He got down on my level to bring me up to his. In other words, he talked my language. He was able to say, Rick, I understand that you own heroin. So he mentioned heroin. See, in the church, they don't mention cocaine. They may mention dow, you know, and all these words like that, but I wouldn't get no understanding of that. So the Lord spoke to me about, I know you love to get high, you know what I mean, and I have a high for you, and if you don't like it, you can always go back to the one you love the most. So that was a language that I needed to hear. And it was up to me to choose to try it. So it's, you have to get out on that level, man, and you understand it better. They may not even do anything at that time, but listening is most important. And once they get a chance to hear, as they go along in life, doing whatever they're doing, the thought of what they heard may pop up one day, and change take place. So it's like planting a seed, you know. And
so,
as the word says, go ahead, Pastor.
So summarize what you're saying. Patience is a key element of what you're saying. Is that what I mean?
Oh, without a doubt, man. I mean, without a doubt. When you put the seed down, don't expect for something to come up right then. It would be beautiful if you did it, but you put a little water on it later on, and then let God give it the increase. And it may take a little while because it happened with me. I didn't change my life when I went into the church. I kept doing drugs. I kept selling drugs. I kept doing everything I was doing. The only difference, I was in the church doing it now. And I was at a place where God accepted me. He never told me to stop doing drugs, you see. So whoever said that they stopped as soon as they went to church, I understand. That didn't happen to me. God never said, stop doing drugs. Don't you come up in there with these drugs. He never said that. One day he spoke this, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. I'm going to turn it back over to you after this one. He said to me one day, he said that you don't have to do it. I was like, man, he didn't say stop. He said, you don't have to. So, after I got bold right then. And I said, yeah, he's had enough of you. So I decided to try it. And guess what? It's been 26 years now because I didn't have to.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor, I'm listening. Outcast, I'm listening to him, brother. And what I'm hearing him say is when people realize that just like you choose to use, you got the power of choice to stop when you get ready.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, when you
sometimes people don't think they have the choice to quit. They got to be a slave to not just drugs. You know what I mean? It could be any other vice.
When you
want to stop it, and you got the choice to choose, I ain't gonna do this no more.
Right.
I agree, but it all goes back, and I'm gonna bring another philosopher up in this. If you do not sit back and examine what's going on with you, even though you can feel it, it's killing you. You know, if you don't examine it and say, hey, this is what's going on with me, I need to stop. You stop or you die. And I'm going to take Socrates on this before he drunk that bowl of hemlock. What did he say? The unexamined life is not worth living.
If you cannot examine
your life, or your surroundings, stop living. And I hold there.
You
ain't gonna shoot no more.
You mean tell me I got to do some thinking, man? I ain't know I have to use my brain.
hey, what they say? Yeah, well,
that's
I'm going to go on that brain. Okay.
Well, watch this. There's a fella by the name of Willie Lynch, and some people say it's a fable, but there is a document, I understand, at the University of Virginia in their archives, which is this letter that was written in 1712. And it was really about how to control the slave mentally, right? And the premise of Lynch's work was if you can redirect their thinking and suspend their logical processing, if you can do that for them, you can control them.
Right. But when it came to that letter, I heard the letter was hand-delivered. But what about Willie Lynch himself? You know, my take on Willie Lynch is, hell, he could have been white. He could have been Chinese. You know what I'm saying? He could have been Indian. He could have been anything. But basically, he was a person that was concerned. I mean, that's what I look at.
Well, he was a European... He was a European Britishman who was known in the 16th century as a behavioralist for animals. And that's how they perceive people of Afro descent as animals. So he changed and showed.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, if you read the work
like
of
monkeys back then, worse than a monkey.
Well, if you read the works of people like Oliver Wendell Holmes, he was a contemporary of that time. He writes that Negroes or Afro people were subhuman and incapable of deductive and inductive reasoning.
Therefore, I didn't even know that. I don't do all that. I didn't know that.
Okay. That's okay. Well, that's... therefore it's right for you to treat them that way and for you to... condition them to the behaviors you want from them. Of course, we know that's not true, and many of our white brothers and sisters in America today are aggrieved by that, and they would say that if they were there, they would have stopped it, as many did try to. But my point is today, unconsciously, Lynch's theory is still in practice and very active throughout urban America, and ain't nobody got their hands on it.
You mean
that's true?
May I say something? Ask you a question.
Go ahead. Yes.
When you say benches are still active, you mean indirectly, not hanging nobody in a tree, right?
Well, what I mean is, listen, it's not Caucasians or Europeans hanging Negroes up in trees, but Negroes are shooting and killing one another in alleys.
Whoa! All right now. Okay now. All right. All right, I got you now. I just want to understand clearly. That's why I was asking that question.
Well,
I just want to understand what you were speaking of.
You're going to make me talk straight tonight. See?
I want you to. My rabbit ears up. I'm listening.
No white person is making. No white person is making you put your sister out there to sell her body.
That's true.
But young cats, 18 to 25, 30 years old, feel like the best way they can make money, one of them anyway, is to exploit females and put them in a situation where they're selling their body and they got the stuff all on the internet and what have you, making money off of it. This is the essence of what Lynch's teaching did. Y'all feel like I can talk straight, right? This is an academic.
Okay.
I'm looking at Facebook,
sir.
Man. Listen to me. Okay. I'm telling Facebook, friend, this is an academic discussion. So I'm going to tell it just like Lynch said. He said, when you mix them like that, what you got is a bunch of long-haired, ass-backward mules. That's what he said.
Okay.
Right. I'm not coming. I'm just telling you.
I ain't got nothing to say.
That's true.
Yeah, man.
Now, as grave as that is,
mm-hmm.
thanks be to God, we have the knowledge and the opportunity to grab these young guys and let them know that you're not an animal.
Yes, sir. All right.
Even
man.
If you act like one, you're not an animal.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Huh?
Yeah, you got to be mad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the good news right there. That's the good news.
That's wonderful news. They need to know that.
And what you can't be, this is what Pastor Wallace saying. Sometimes, Pastor, we're so busy and so anxious to hurry up and get it right that we don't take the time to cautiously and patiently approach the behavior that we're trying to modify.
Right.
And so we give up on them. Huh?
Sad to say, that is true.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, with that, because I love you, my daddy used to tell us all the time, Don, I'm whooping you because I love you. But God, dog, man, stop hating me then. But because I love you, we ought to have also, as did in the African village concept, the leverage to snatch them up off the street, like use a UPS truck and just round them up. And we go underground, Pastor Waller.
My goodness.
We go through the wilderness. Huh? And when I get through with you, they'll ask you, how did you feel when you came out the wilderness? You understand what I'm saying? But if I do that, Pastor, they'll put me in jail today. I can't do that. I can't get away with it.
But you know what? The old... But doggone it, my mama back then, my grandmother, and I never knew my great-grandmama, but guess what? I thought the old way, and I'm still, they call me old, and they say, you act like an old lady. I say, I'm glad, because I like older people, and I like listening to their stories. They got to, there's some power behind that.
That's right.
And I respect them for this. And if these people my age and younger will listen to those stories, oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
what a big difference in the world.
Yes, it would.
Right. Absolutely.
If they would listen.
Absolutely. If they would only listen. They would only listen.
That's it.
You know, one of the challenges, though, let me stop. This is Talk Straight you're listening to, and we're talking again from open mic. So if you have a topic that you want us to hit before we leave the next 36 minutes here, just give us a call. It's 657-333-0944. We picked up where we left off last Tuesday, but I think we've exhausted that well enough now. And if you have another conversation, feel free to share with us. We're going to keep on going as we are, though. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Pastor Waller, our co-host, and for the Outcast out of Nashville. We got Don out of Selma, Alabama, and my good friend out of Peoria, Illinois, Mama D. And online, we got Bill Parks is listening to us, and Rama D is listening to us, and Brother Prince is listening to us on Facebook, and Dr. Gaten. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We still have some time, about 35 minutes here. But I was going to say that one of the takeaways here is sometimes people think, Pastor, well, you judging. You can't judge nobody.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
So now, can I ask you a question, 8112?
Yes, sir.
Lord have mercy. If you saw me walking buck naked down the street, who judging me? You or me?
Me? I'm going to say, there goes the streak, but then I have to think. I was making a little funny, but on the real side, then I have to think about it, and I would think about it.
Yes.
Something must be going on with this person.
Absolutely.
I have no knowledge about.
Right.
So a lot of times we all have been guilty to be quick to judge. If you had that upbringing, you got to go back to your – if you had that upbringing, you got to go back to, who am I to judge him? I don't know what's on his plate.
Maybe I can offer him
a pair of pants. Or maybe I can offer him a slice of bread. Maybe somebody chased him up out of his pants. And his drawers and his shoes and shirts.
Whoa. Listen to what you're saying, though, 8112.
Know what I'm
you
saying.
You looked at him and you made judgment call.
Yeah,
to decide. What I'm saying is, his behavior, whatever the cause of it was, put you in a position where you had to make a judgment call. Because
yes,
you
ma'am.
May have to ask yourself, is he trying to rape me? Right? Mm-hmm.
If you run down the street buck ass naked, you ain't going to rape me because I'm going to do some bad
Okay, mommy. All right, mommy.
You're going to run away from me because I offered you something that you can't take from me.
Okay, mommy.
Tell you
I got something
you can't get rid of for the rest of your life. See how you like.
Oh, my God. Help us, Holy Ghost. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying, don't you?
We talking real time,
you understand
time,
what
right?
I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I understand what you trying to say. I'm saying what I'm saying.
All right. I got you. Yeah, I promise. Listen, hey, Mama D, let me step outside of the character. Let me step outside of the character I just described. That ain't me. I ain't going to do that. I promise. I ain't going to do it.
It's all right. You talking real talk. I like it. Do it next week. I like it.
The point I'm trying to make here is that our action among other human beings in social settings calls people to draw conclusions, and that's all the judgment is.
And you're right. That's like that man that killed that boy because he was black and he was in a middle class, a rich folks neighborhood. He thought he shouldn't be there. So he going to play RoboCop and shoot him. I thought he should have been strung by his feet. Not murdered, but strung by his feet because that wasn't going to kill his behind. But he would have took notice. And I hope they did something to make him pay for what the heck he did because that was horrible.
Sure. That was a terrible thing.
Made him the RoboCop of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. That was a terrible thing. And I hope that. Go ahead. Okay.
You know what you were talking about, RoboCop, you know, terrorized neighborhood. Well, this was back in the 1970s, there in Memphis. You had two white police officers. You know, they was running around, you know, neighborhood out there in North Memphis. You know, I mean, just raising all kind of hell and people from the north end of town to the south end of town to the east town in the town. They knew about Starsky and Hutch. They call them Starsky and Hutch. But guess what happened to Starsky and Hutch? They end up getting killed, you know? I mean,
what?
You know, they cut their testicles out and every doggone time.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And that man wasn't no police. He was just a
man, he died horrible, man.
He was a citizen on the block playing like he was a RoboCop citizen arrest and shot that poor baby down and killed that woman child. And they should have strung his butt up by his toes.
So let's talk about that for a second. So since you brought that in, let's talk about that for a second. Unfortunately, you have people in every profession that don't have any business being there. And that includes the law enforcement profession.
That wasn't no police. That was a man in the neighborhood.
No.
I'm finna shut up and listen to you, sir.
Okay, I know what you're saying. I'm speaking to what Outkast was talking about.
okay.
In the 70s,
right.
In this situation. These guys, yes. As I, mm-hmm. if I understood them correctly, were supposed to be peace officers.
Yeah.
Right. They were supposed to serve and protect.
Mm-hmm.
But they were doing all sorts of things until
yes,
they got served and
mm-hmm.
unprotected.
Somebody served
right.
them a cup of tea.
Right.
And it was ugly.
But my point is, unfortunately, there are too many instances where individuals who are scoring law enforcement officers are doing the wrong thing. They need to be dealt with. You know, when I was running for council a couple of years back, the guy told me, he said, man, what the blank you going to do about these low-down police? And I said to him, I said, they can be dealt with because they represent
right.
you and you pay their salary. They can be dealt with. But that don't justify you being out of order.
That's right.
That's right.
When you're in order, you have a stronger case to make that they need to be gone from that position. So to that point, yeah, that's absolutely right. And I hear people very angry about the engagement of a lot of young people with law enforcement, and it's a terrible thing. Any time a life is left, a terrible thing. But there are lessons that we can learn to avoid those if we take the time to do so, if we would just only take the time to do so. We digressed off into that conversation. Don, you were trying to say something. What were you saying, brother man?
I tell you one thing I love. You were talking about the Willie Lynch thing. But, Mr. Dockery, you always got to remember Willie Lynch in modern day is Albert Pike. And they do have a network, and that network is still active today.
For the sake of our audience,
he does a network.
Explain who, Don. For the sake of our audience, explain who Albert Pike is, right quickly, real quickly.
Well,
explain who Albert Pike is, so our audience won't be lost on the conversation.
Because I don't know.
Albert Pike is right after the Civil War. You had Southern guys who formed what we call the Ku Klux Klan. Or the invisible empire. And what it is European males that are part of this Masonic organization that still push certain, not all of them,
okay.
but they pushing the ideal of animalism on us and to think of ourselves as slaves. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
That process
yes.
is still going on today.
Okay.
Did they help you 8112 understand who Albert Pike was?
Yes, he telling me.
So he was, in short, he was one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. They started down in Pulaski, Tennessee, as a matter of fact, is where the Klan, I understand, had their origin. And there
Ku
was
Klan
six.
Ku Klux Klan is your doctor, your lawyer, your police, your fire.
Wait a minute now.
A whole lot of that. They don't like
you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, though. You make an interesting point. When we talk about the Klan today in 2018, the only way their methods can work is that you make yourself available to them. And that's what we've been talking about.
That's
kind of
right.
What we've
now,
been talking
say, it
about.
Again, say it again for me, please.
The only way their goals. Go ahead.
You said it. You said a whole mouthful.
Okay.
You told the truth. They can't touch you. If you don't set yourself out there, because they're your doctors, they're your lawyers, they're some of everybody. They come of all creeds, colors, nationalities.
Now,
let me
spend a few minutes to explain the theory behind starting the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay.
Prior to 1865, the formal ending of slavery and the end of the Civil War, the laws of the country supported slavery and the dehumanizing of people of Afro descent. The six founders with Pike were generals and military men who fought in the Confederate Army.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in fact, we heard Jim Crow. You familiar with Jim Crow? Well, this guy's name was James Richard Crow, who had laid down, these were people that were these were educated men. He laid down a new strategy after black codes were struck down and things. He came up with a new strategy to mentally control these people that they wanted to subjugate and make money off of. James Blackingame got a book entitled Slaves Without Masters. He does an excellent job of kind of describing the dynamics there. But I said that to say
that you got to understand, they knew 8112 as long mm-hmm. as African Americans were not allowing themselves to use their brain power, their reason, and being obedient, I believe, to the will of God, you can exploit them and misuse them.
But, Pastor, then back then, the slaves, they were some of the most righteous religious people on earth. That was all
right
they
there.
Had.
All they had was the divine father. That's all they had. They were strong people, Pastor. They were so strong because they didn't have nothing on to but the word of God. Hold on. Where did they learn about God and the Bible? Who taught them about God? They snuck it in. They snuck it in the Lord made a way for them to figure out. Okay. And once they figured it out,
they hold their own little churches in their own little space in the back of the house while the master was away.
They
did what they did while the white man sleeping with their girls, their daughters, and their wives.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And while they taking the signs out and the young boys and putting them out there in the fields and selling them off to get them away from the women. I know a little bit. I don't know no whole heck of a lot, but out of common sense. If you listen to anything your parents or grandparents taught you, you would know some of these stories. I remember I told you, people, I love older people. I don't like young people. I listen to older people.
Okay. All right, listen to me for a second. I want you to walk away with something, 8112. And that
Please leave me with a message.
All right. What the slaves were introduced in terms of their faith and about Jesus and God was the slave master's interpretation. In fact, they use biblical text that says, children, obey your masters. And so in some ways, as righteous as they tried to be, the slaves, they were limited in the scope of understanding until after time, over time. Now, what I'm trying to get to is, is that even when it comes to the word of God, you can't allow someone else's opinion to drive your faith.
Didn't I talk about that Tuesday?
Yeah, you said.
We were talking about something about what we were speaking upon, and I made the comment, and I was hoping after I left the radio station that I didn't say nothing out of order. I said,
you can't trust
every pastor. You can't trust every deacon, every man, because they are only but who they are, human beings.
Everybody
practice under the name of Jesus and working for the Lord.
Pastor Wallace.
I remember. Yeah, she said that.
She said that. Did the Bible say study
you judge by your
to
heart
show,
come back.
To
you
show
be
by
yourself.
By your heart. You're going to be judged. Church going to come to a point that Lucifer is still walking around doing all his little devil, and he go back to hell, as far as I'm concerned, because he's still out here creating all this hell and confusion, and that's why he got kicked out of heaven, as far as my understanding goes. And guess what?
Okay.
God is coming back. When he come back, oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All of us, including myself, you will answer.
All right.
You're going to answer for your good and your bad.
Sure, your good, your bad
outweighs your good. You better start doing a whole lot of more praying if you know how.
8112.
And if you don't wait till he comes, because he ain't waiting on you like that, because he told you already. He told us all.
8112.
He told me, too, and I got some of it.
Baby girl, let me slip this in there. Second Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Listen at what it said. Let's exegete the text for a second. Don't try to prove nothing to Dockery or to Pastor Waller or to Outcast or Don.
Are you talking to me?
No.
I'm sorry, but don't tell me don't try to prove nothing to them because I'm a grown, fully grown woman. I don't mean no disrespect to you. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to prove anything to them. I'm doing
okay,
just
listen,
like all you men on here.
Will you listen to what I'm saying for a second, please? I'm trying to speak in general to my radio audience, not just you. We appreciate you being here, but I'm speaking to the audience in general. Give me a second, and then I think you'll understand what I'm saying. Can you just bear with me just for a second, please?
I can bear with you all the time.
Okay, I'm not singling anyone out right now. We're having an intellectual conversation
that you're part of.
Okay, all right. So what I was trying to say is what the text said in 2 Timothy 2:15 is that it admonished us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Oftentimes, people don't understand that. They think they have to prove to other people that they're righteous, that they love God, and so forth and so on. But the truth of the matter is you're studying and you're educating yourself about God, his word, so that you can show yourself approved unto him. A workman, watch this, workman, done. You're not going to get no free pass. Not no free pass. You got to put some work in. Somebody say put some work in.
That's
yeah,
right.
A workman that need not be ashamed. When it comes time to showing for your life worth and your purpose here and the air you done bring, the water you done sucked up, the food you can show. You ain't got to be ashamed because you can say, I did what God called me to do. Right? Watch this. Rightly. It's the wrong way to do it. It's the wrong way to do it. But the text said rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, Pastor Waller would tell you that John 8:32 says you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what, Pastor Waller?
It shall make you free
on purpose.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. That's all I'm trying to say.
Mr.
Dawkins. Yes, sir.
You remember the conversation me and you had when I was at American Baptist and I was having trouble with the Hebrew?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Today I had to go right back there to that same point. I had to deal with modern Hebrew, with ancient Hebrew, and I was doing my study. In modern Hebrew, you got dots and dashes and vowel points. In ancient Hebrew, you don't.
Okay. Well, they didn't exist then, and the vowels that we know in Yiddish or modern Hebrew, things are very different. But yes, that's right.
English.
Okay.
But you know what, Waller?
Is that
Go ahead, Outcast. I was listening to 12. You know, like I said, you know, she strikes up stuff with me a lot of time when she's talking. And the thing is, when she was talking, you know, I was thinking about the book of Esther. I was thinking about Haman and Mordecai. You know, Haman won Mordecai to bow to him. Mordecai said, no, I battle no one but God. And then I thought about John F. Kennedy going over there to the Pope. Oh, you
what?
Thought John F. Kennedy was going to bow down and kiss the ring. What John F. looked at him, stood up and talked to him like a man. No, bow to no one but God, but going back to Timothy, what you was reading, study, show that stuff approved. And then that way you won't get stuck on now. A 12,
there you go.
All those sages weren't docile. All of them.
No, they weren't.
You know that mess those slave masters were putting down.
Yes,
sir. You got several of them in history, you know. I mean, you got Matt Turner, you know, you have a whole lot of them, and they died, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
because
they were rebelling. Yeah. Right here in the state of Tennessee, Andrew Jackson out there. Oh, he good slave master. I don't think so. One of his slaves ran off. He put an ad in the newspaper. Said when you catch him, give him 100 lashes.
What did he say? He ran off.
Brother Doctor, what is that? Give him 100 lashes.
Now, yeah,
that's
chill.
Horrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
well,
God.
You know,
I ain't watched
you mentioned that, Outcast, and that's really what the 1857 Dred Scott decision was predicated on. You know, Scott ran away from a southern a slave state, went up to Missouri on the northern bar where you were free, and he took his case to the court. And interestingly enough, the court said, no, because you weren't born here and you weren't a part of the original founders, you're not a citizen.
Oh, wow.
Right.
You know, and but
thanks be to God, time fixed that. You know, 1857 was just about 3 years or so before, 4 years before the Civil War really brewed, and the fight was on at that point. That was another major landmark case in the Supreme Court that really some people, many historians would argue that augmented the Civil War, these type of battles, the economic battles, legal battles, philosophical battles, and what have you. But nonetheless, to your point, Outkast, if we know the truth, man, we ain't got to be bound by nothing or nobody.
Exactly.
And now, I'm not suggesting anybody be flipping disrespectful to the preacher, to the pastor. I'm not saying that.
But you can
study yourself and have an honest conversation with your pastor, and I trust that they will be honest with you.
Pastor Zachary, may I say something, please, about a personal experience? And I know this ain't just about me, it's about the kids out here.
All right, go ahead.
I want to say this, though, in light of the children that we're talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember, and I was raised in church. My mama used to hold church in the house. But I went to church one time, they said, I heard them say, and I'm thinking, they talking about me. I was kind of like a little teeny turtle at first. I ain't going to lie. I went to church and I had the loudest voice in the house singing. They were talking about me, and I'm like, how they going to talk about me? I'm going to say what I want to say. And I was singing. And I got in the choir, and other kids might have been a little bit better dressed than myself.
Okay.
And so alone, that didn't steer me from church. It was as I became a grown woman. I went to church. And I heard some people talking. And they was talking about me again. I don't know why they keep talking about me. But people do that. They do what they do.
Okay.
And then it come to a point as a middle-aged woman. Now, I ain't no young woman no more. I'm a middle-aged woman.
All right.
I thought for myself, and I decided this. I don't have to go to that building to worship God. God is in my heart, and he makes me fall on my knees. And sometimes I say, I don't know why I had to fall on my knees. I said, if my father tell me to do it, I'm going to do so. And I talked to my family, and I may have 30, 40 people in my house at the time, but it's okay. I have a message to send, and the message is, I don't know why he chose me, but he chose me to do a job. And I cannot refuse if he chooses me. I don't know why. I used to see things. I don't see that anymore. He said, if you have a gift, I bless you with a gift. I can't quote what he said. God forgive me for that. But to me, I was taught if God bless you with a gift and you're afraid of this gift, he'll remove it from you. And I was glad he did. I was tired of seeing things I ain't want to see before it happened.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir, Don.
I'm in a situation now. You know, my dad had children, multiple children, by different females. I'm in a situation now where I have a sister and a mother, and they was part of the movement, and they're a Catholic. And what I'm experiencing from Sherry and Diane Nash, and Sherry said it to me last time because I got a niece that's at Georgetown, and that's a Jesuit school. And what I'm experiencing on a spiritual and an intellectual thing that I didn't, that I wanted to experience, I don't know if I experienced my lifetime. We did experience Barack Obama, but what I'm coming to find out now on a, what you call a spiritual and intellectual level, they are hooked up with this Jesuit, you know what I'm saying? This thing, like, I'm coming to find out Clarence Thomas is a Jesuit and Obama's in that circle. And of course, Jesse might be in.
Tell us why that's will you explain why Jesuit is relevant to what you're talking about today in our conversation? Because a lot of people are not familiar with what you're talking about. That's on
but what
next
is
topic.
Jesuit?
Yep.
That's a secret order in the Catholic Church that says that, you know, there's two definitions of, okay, you got Christianity and then you have Christ, all right? And in the Catholic Church, if you don't say that you're a Christian, you know what I'm saying, and you're a part of that Christian order, you know what I'm saying? Like, following the Pope or Queen Elizabeth. You understand what I'm saying? And if you don't follow Queen Elizabeth and the Pope and their philosophy, they'll murder you.
What?
If you don't follow that.
They're king.
Well,
I'm a good old girl. Sometimes I go back to
hold on. 8112. 8112. So
he said they'll murder you. That mean kill.
8112. 1 second, please. Don, let me, if I might, sir, so she don't misunderstand you fully. I don't believe you're meaning to suggest that someone is going to come and kill you, literally kill you today. But there is a historic, listen for a second, please, because we have other people listening to the show, and I want to make sure we're clear, all right? It's my duty as the facilitator of our discussion to do so. There is a history in the Catholic Church where there were individuals that were Jesuit priests and so forth and so on. I think that's what Don is speaking from, the historical context. I'm not aware of, there are Jesuits today. I know some personally, and they don't go around killing people that disagree with them. Now, there is a history, however, that I believe he is making reference to. Now, let's bring this back to earth where we are, so we all can understand. Everybody don't know that history. And since we didn't give a background of that history, I don't want to mislead us, Don, into some people misunderstanding. So we'll just kind of bring this back to a point where we can, to 2018, things we all can understand. Is that all right, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, I'm right here on you, brother. Yes, sir. You're on top. I'm right here.
Go ahead, Outcast. What were we going to say?
No, I'm just saying 6 minutes. 6 minutes.
Yeah, we got about 8 minutes. We got about 8 minutes before we have to get out of here, man. Look at the time. Golly. Well, that's why you need to quit playing with the clock, man.
Yeah, man, you know how I be doing it, man. When the time get to rolling, here we go again.
Yes, sir. Guys, great conversation. Let's summarize what we've been talking about relative to raising children and the responsibility of everybody in our neighborhoods and our community. It's true that it's the first duty of the parent. Unfortunately, we have a breakdown in the family's dichotomy, though, to where there are too many fathers that are not raising their children, and mothers sometimes are missing as well. And that's something we can work on. We see that whites are affected now more and more than ever before by some of the same social ills. We know that, by and large, throughout urban America, is well documented that this has been a pattern for the last 40, 50 years in the urban American experience, Afro-urban American experience, where this family breakdown has led to children, just like Curtis Mayfield said, running wild and wondering to themselves, what did I do wrong? Am I a bad person? We know they're not, but there's yet hope for them. There's yet hope for them. I thank God that he is the essence of our hope. Pastor Wall, you want to weigh in on that right quick? Before we get the phone over to these good people and get ready.
Well, you're talking about hope. You're talking about power.
Yes, sir.
You know how to say faith is a substance.
Hope. Yeah.
And the evidence comes from that you have not even seen, man. So what is the substance of what we're striving to do for our community as a whole, the kids in it, and of course they are our future. And how do we implement the power of hope? It's out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. So if I don't see it, I don't believe it. And
right.
So we have to get back into the swing of walking by faith. And if they don't know, that's not what they teach you out in the world. So when when they put the TV on and all the other things, and social media, when they show them things, and they see it, and automatically become what they see. And so we gotta get our hands on that, man. I think it'll work itself out.
You said that, and I was just having a conversation with someone earlier about how some folks, they go straight to YouTube for the answer,
there's some things YouTube don't know how to consider. You know what I mean? An algorithm can't answer certain things for you or resolve certain issues for you, you know. And too many young people now are leaning to, like you say, technology and the internet for answers. And every situation is different. And as you said, hope is not restricted to the internet.
Mm.
I don't care how much information you can find on there. Different ball game. Different ball game. So, that being said, let me Don, the final thought before we get out of here, man.
Oh, it's good conversation. I'm enjoying it. It's very fruitful that y'all are listening in Nashville, and the program is there in Nashville, because it helps us here in Selma. It really does. And I appreciate you, Mr. Docker, for doing the program. I appreciate Outcast. I appreciate the Reverend what's her name?
Waller.
Reverend Waller, yeah. And I sure appreciate my sister up in Peoria, Illinois. She don't know I appreciate it. I really do, because guess what? She's up in Illinois, and that's going up to Chicago, and I'm down here in Selma. And what she don't know, we on the same line. Interstate 65 go to Chicago to Mobile. And it plays a very important part that we all have in this conversation, because between Chicago and Mobile, there's a dynamic going on, and we need to be close together and communicating spiritually and intellectually.
Well, we appreciate your time being here. That's a good segue. 8112, final thought?
Yes, sir. I would like to say that once again, I thank you guys. Not only, I know it's supposed to be about the kids, but y'all are inspiration to myself. Because it sheds light on things as a mother that you don't know. We worry about our children. I'm going to wrap this up real fast. Once again, I thank you. I appreciate listening to all you guys, because as a woman, sometimes men can shed light on things when you have sons that you may not even thought about.
Okay.
And I said that before. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and I'm going to continue to think as the night progresses.
Okay.
Did I say something that was great, good, or positive? I know I only try to speak positive, because I say the power of positive thinking. But you guys have a plan, and that's our most important. And you're utilizing this plan. And Pastor Dockery, I keep calling him Ludacris, and he ain't Ludacris. Told me that. And Don, and Pastor and even your Facebook friends, because I don't do Facebook like that, but
right.
I respect each and every one of you guys and every woman listening on here. I thank God for Jesus, and I think your horizons is going even farther. Your tree going to be very fruitful.
Thank
Pastor Zachary, your tree, I'm telling you this, it's going to spread farther than you would ever in your life imagine. I said that, and I know why I'm saying it, but I know it came from somewhere, maybe even I don't understand. You are going to be very, and you guys are going to produce and be fruitful, because at least you taking the chance to do what you're doing. All right.
Hate to run y'all, but we're running out of time there. Outcast, a final thought right quickly, man.
Oh, yeah, you know, I appreciate everyone, you know. A lot of, you know, each and every one of you are very intelligent. You know, it's stated sometimes, you know, like when you talk, other people talk, a lot of things, you know, register in my mind, you know, from past times, whatever. But, hey, Don, I do remember Hebrew over there at American Baptist Church. I remember.
All right.
Wow.
All right,
anyway, I'm done.
All right, thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Pastor, we got about 45 seconds. Right quick, get us out of here, man. The BFCInstitute.com is the website. Learn about us and follow us. See us next Tuesday. Pastor, give us a few seconds. 30 seconds, there, Pastor. Live by.
Yeah, praise God for everyone that tuned in, man, if everybody had a chance to listen. I realize that we're all on the same wavelength, striving on the same road. Just be encouraged and keep in that mouth. And everything.
All right.
God bless. God bless everybody. We'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock. All right.
Yes, sir.